ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.
Peter Magyar wins the Hungarian election in a landslide victory,
ending 16 years of strongman Viktor Orbán's autocratic rule.
In Budapest, hundreds of thousands of voters are celebrating,
comparing this victory to the fall of the Soviet regime.
I'm Laura Tingle.
And I'm Latika Berg. Today we are roaming to Budapest. Will their new leader be able to deliver? Laura, what a Sunday night it was as the results came in from Hungary, and so quickly, by the way, because of the enormous landslide that it was. My phone, I was out at dinner, my phone just lit up from people all across the globe. A French diplomat in Washington, my friends in Kyiv were texting me, Americans were texting me, friends in the commission were texting me. I mean, everybody was just jubilant and could not believe not just the result of this landslide victory in Hungary, but the scale of it, a two-thirds majority. This is absolutely enormous for Europe, and it can't be understated what a significant domino this is to fall.
Absolutely, Latika. It was an amazing night, and I mean, followed those extraordinary scenes, I think, on the Friday night of that massed crowd. I'm just sort of imagining your phone looking a bit like those street scenes in Hungary with all of those people with their torches on and things. It was an amazing night, and so extraordinary to see Viktor Orbán concede so quickly. It was like the polls almost hadn't closed before he was conceding defeat. So an amazing result. And as you say, it's going to have such huge knock-on effects, particularly in Europe, about how they conduct their politics. Joining us from Budapest is political analyst Gergő Papp. He's author of a new book, The Fall of Orbán, How a Political Outsider Toppled Europe's Trump, which is due to be published in the next few weeks. Gergő Papp, welcome to Global Roaming. This is no ordinary election. Some people have actually described it as regime change equivalent to when the Soviet Union collapsed. What's your view of that?
Yeah, it certainly feels like it. Many analysts in Hungary are saying that it's even a larger change, partly because the turnout was much larger than after the fall of the Iron Curtain. 80% of Hungarians attended, which is unprecedented. And after the fall of Orbán was clear, people were celebrating on the streets. And so these were scenes that were unlike anything that we have ever seen in Hungary so far.
What won it for him?
I think there are two factors that this time someone was able to beat Viktor Orbán. One is Péter Magyar himself, who was a very savvy politician, and in many ways his style at least is close to that of Donald Trump, because he was this relentless campaigner who kept commenting on Facebook, used short form videos, short texts to communicate with his voters, never backed down, never apologized for his mistakes, and it seemed to work out. And no one did this before him. So that was one part. He was a really good campaigner. And the other is basically just reality. Viktor Orbán didn't lose because of a bad campaign. They had a reality problem. High prices in Hungary in the past at least 4 years, underfunded healthcare, crumbling schools, no EU funds in the last 2 years. And these all added up together into a general feeling of hopelessness in Hungary. And that's what Péter Magyar was able to exploit.
It's been a predominant narrative that it was the economy, which it usually always is. But how much did the EU, a quasi-referendum on belonging to the European Union, and Russian influence matter in this vote? Did it at all?
Yes, surprisingly a lot. In the last 2-3 weeks of the campaign, people started to talk about the possibility of Huxit, which means the Hungary's exit, possible exit from the European Union. And even EU leaders were talking about some solution to push Hungary out if Orbán stays in power. So that became part of the conversation. And also there were many reports about how the Hungarian foreign minister is friendly with Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister. There were leaked phone calls between them that showed that the Hungarian foreign minister is working against the EU to assist Mr. Lavrov. And there were reports that Russians are trying to influence the Hungarian action in favor of Viktor Orbán. And these were really huge scandals in the last 2 weeks. And these were the main topics. And even if the government has been using anti-EU propaganda to stir up his voter base, still the Hungarian society is really a pro-EU society, with at least 80% of the voters in support of an EU membership.
So just exploring that a little bit, as you say, there was this huge sort of personality-driven campaign, and we've even seen in Australia over the years, if some leader comes in, gets this huge crushing victory, the sort of crossover point between the personality of the leaders and the underlying issues can sometimes sort of overemphasize how much support their position may have. Now, as you say, there's a really strong pro-Europe position that's shown up in this election campaign, but how deep do you think that is? I mean, do you think that there's a risk that once people get over the elation of the campaign, they'll still go, you know, it'll fall back a little bit, that that the new Prime Minister may have trouble actually implementing and keeping support for the pro-European position, even though he's obviously got this supermajority?
From what we can see from the first few days is that the new Prime Minister will be really pro-EU and pro-NATO, maybe for the exception of the question of Ukraine, because that is the one topic where Viktor Orbán's propaganda was kind of successful, and many Hungarians are, even if they're not afraid of Ukraine, they don't want EU membership for Ukraine, or at least not in the next few years. So Péter Magyar is being really considerate on that topic. But other than that, his whole voter base is expecting him to get closer to the EU, to receive the EU funds that Orbán hasn't received, and to just be generally a better ally for our NATO and EU allies.
What's the scale of work for him to do this? Because as I understand it, Orbán spent a lot of time essentially rigging or fixing a lot of Hungarian systems. How much work does the new Prime Minister now have to do in order to qualify and show the European Union that it can genuinely get back on the right path in order to release those funds?
There are already some talks between Ursula von der Leyen and Péter Magyar about this, and they expect a pretty short time frame to solve the issues and to show that Hungary is back on the track of the rule of law. It should happen, I would say, within a half a year or even earlier, even by September. There are some analyses that say that it's doable. And it's only doable because Péter Magyar got a two-thirds majority, which basically means that he and his party can do anything, change the constitution, write a new constitution, fire people who were put in important positions by Viktor Orbán. This changes the picture completely. So it's more of a matter of will. And voters behind Péter Magyar, and even some voters who originally voted for Fidesz, are expecting him to to bring home the EU funds.
One of the interesting questions that you raise is, while the election is very pro-European, while he has had conversations with Ursula von der Leyen about some of those structural issues like reforming the judiciary, Ukraine is also this outstanding issue that Hungarians aren't quite so keen on, I mean, obviously on EU accession, but a crucial question for Ukraine is obviously the $90 billion loan that's been basically frozen or stopped until now because of Hungary's position. Where does the line get drawn about what Hungarians will be happy to see change in the position on Ukraine, and, you know, what they won't be happy to see change?
Yes, what I expect from Peter Magyar, based on his first press conference, is that he will assist the EU in releasing the funds to Ukraine. He is just putting an emphasis on not granting Ukraine an EU membership right now. And this is kind of a communications tactic from him to show that he is not the guy that he was painted as by Viktor Orban. He is not this really Ukraine-friendly politician. But still, Ukraine is still more popular than Russia in Hungary, even after all these years of propaganda. So it's not a politically problematic thing for Peter Magyar to say that, okay, I will assist the EU in releasing the funds to Ukraine.
Gergő Pap, can you illustrate for us just how deep you believe the Russian interference or Russian influence into Hungary under Orbán has been? I was struck by Peter Magyar's first press conference where he says the foreign minister's just re-emerged after disappearing on election day. He's in the government ministry offices busily destroying documents related to sanctions against Russia that, of course, Hungary was trying to always block in the European Union. How much do we expect to come out now that there's been this historic seismic change?
I think there will be a lot of stories to come out, and there were even talks about trying the former foreign minister for treason. That might not happen, but that came from actually Peter Magyar in the campaign, after it became clear that that the former foreign minister Peter Szijjártó was working against the EU and leaking documents to Russia. There is also an ongoing, so there's a book coming about Russian influence in the past few decades in Hungary, and there were some snippets appearing from that in the past few days, and there are some really, really surprising accusations against the foreign minister, for example, bringing home cash from Russia in government planes and bringing home diamonds and stuff like that. So we expect a lot of things to come out after this.
I'm Latika Berg, and we're roaming in Budapest, talking to political analyst and author Gergő Pap about the historic Hungarian election and what we can expect of their new Prime Minister, Peter Magyar, after his landslide victory on the weekend.
So how does Hungary reset its relationship with Russia? I mean, there's going to be this presumably sort of rolling story of revelations about the bad side of the relationship, but you obviously just can't cut Russia off either, apart from anything else. There's still the question of Russian oil, which is only more pertinent given what's happening in the Middle East at the moment.
Yes, the thing is, in Hungary, it was Viktor Orban who made sure that Hungary was kept on Russian oil and Russian gas and did not diversify its portfolio. That will happen now. And Peter Magyar is a pragmatic politician. He is already saying that he will try to have a pragmatic relationship with Russia and Vladimir Putin. But in reality, it's really hard to do that when you are actually part of the EU and NATO. So I expect some tensions. Hungary was only useful for Russia as a Trojan horse within the EU with Viktor Orban. But anything less than that, anything less than what we saw in the past few years, it's not really worth Russia's time to deal with that. It will be just another pragmatic relationship with a small EU country, but nothing more.
And how do you think Peter Magyar will negotiate his relationship with the Trump administration? We saw those scenes of J.D. Vance flying all the way to Budapest to campaign for Viktor Orban. How did that go down domestically? And do Hungarians feel annoyed or resentful that the United States tried to interfere in your election outcome as well as Russia?
Well, Hungarians actually laughed at the fact that J.D. Vance came to campaign for Viktor Orban. It was too late. Not many people know J.D. Vance, and the whole Trump administration is really unpopular in Hungary, and not just in Hungary, but all of Europe. So it didn't really help Viktor Orban. People don't really feel resentment, and Peter Magyar is actually really compatible with the American right, I would say. Both his style, and he's actually a right-wing politician. He's now center-right, but 4 years ago he was in Fidesz. So I see a possibility of getting over this. When Mr. Trump became president again in 2024, Peter Magyar congratulated him in a gracious way and didn't say anything negative about the American president. So I expect a good relationship between them after the whole Orban thing just gets forgotten.
Coming back to that question of Peter Magyar himself, and I mean, yes, he might get on with the American right in a sort of philosophical sense, but you hear a lot of reports that he's, you know, got a very short temper, that he's, you know, that he doesn't really suffer people challenging him. What's the government going to look like? Is it going to be another one-man band, do you think? And are there potential risks in that, both for him and for the stability of the government in the long term? I mean, has he got a good team around him?
Yes. Many people, even from the opposition voters, were afraid that Peter Magyar will just build up a new Fidesz party, like Viktor Orban did. But actually, people around him would fit in any center-right party in Germany or France or anywhere around the world. So he understood that he has to bring in people outside of politics. For example, the vice president of Shell Global will be one of the ministers in Magyar's cabinet. So we expect that through this, this will be a well-functioning government. And even Peter Magyar himself has changed a lot in these 2 years. In the first interview, he even spoke somewhat positively about Viktor Orban. But now he completely changed, and because his voters are mainly leftists and liberals, he is more leftist and liberal than he was 2 years ago.
Gogo, what effect do you think this election has on the surge in support for populist movements across Europe, particularly with France next year? And where I am in the UK, obviously Reform has been leading in the polls for the best part of a year now. Do you think that this is the first domino to fall, or do you think this is isolated to Hungary because of Orbán's 16-year rule, the economy going badly, and it was just a moment in time that pertains particularly to Hungary?
Well, I think it just actually shows the limits of the populist right and what they can actually deliver, why they are in government, and that's a bad sign for our right-wing populist politicians around Europe and the world. And there's another lesson which we can already see in France, that far-right candidates can be beaten by center-right candidates. We see it in Poland, where the far-right party's main opposition, who is now in government, is Donald Tusk, a center-right politician. In France, Edouard Philippe is the likely candidate against the far-right candidate. So this could be a lesson that in order to beat the far-right, you have to run center-right candidates with a populist style.
Apart from the EU, of course, the other sort of combining force in Europe is NATO. What's going to happen with Hungary's relationship with NATO? And also, just in general, we've obviously got a lot of Europe rearming at the moment. you know, partly driven by Donald Trump, but partly driven by the Ukraine war. Where do you think the Hungarian public would like to see Hungary place itself in that spectrum of defence issues and with NATO?
I think that the Hungarian population would like Hungary to be as far away as Russia from possible, and close as possible to Germany and Poland, which are the most important allies for Hungary at this point. And Peter Magyar himself has a good relationship already with the German Chancellor and the Polish Prime Minister. So I would say that this Europe-focused relationship building is what really matters here. And obviously Hungarians are afraid that Donald Trump will exit NATO and the whole alliance will crumble. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But most Hungarians are thinking in terms of European allies and mostly in terms of German and Polish allies.
So last year, your deputy foreign minister came to London. He's now the ex, outgoing. And I asked him a lot about Hungary's relationship with China, which when Hungary held the EU presidency, they were very clear in trying to seek closer ties with the CCP, encourage greater investment from China. And this, of course, goes against Brussels' whole de-risking agenda. Has Peter Magyar said anything about how Hungary will align itself with China?
Not really. It hasn't been a topic of conversation in the campaign. What's interesting here is that the foreign policy of Viktor Orban was basically about being friendly with strongmen around the world, whoever they are. And for example, there were reports about the foreign minister offering help to Iran after Israel's attack on Hezbollah, the pager attack. The Hungarian foreign minister actually offered intelligence assistance to Iran while they are being really friendly with Benjamin Netanyahu and also with Trump and also with the Chinese president and also with the Russian president. So there's no ideological coherence there, and it will surely change. China has been missing from the conversation, but people, because of Hungary's communist past, think negatively of China here, and they are in the same basket as Russia.
Yeah, Gopap, thank you so much for speaking to us, and we'll watch with great interest over the coming months.
Very interesting.
Thank you for having me.
Laura, fascinating to think that China has been missing from that equation, but also so interesting to hear the principles and values that the ordinary Hungarian will apply to what Hungary's future relationship with China might look like.
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting when you go to Central Europe, as I know you do really often, Latika, that that China is sort of both been present and not so present in a very different way to the way we've seen China, to the way Western Europe has seen China. Of course, the Belt and Road Initiative comes right through Central Europe to Poland. So on one level, Chinese influence is, you know, right on their doorstep. But at the same time, Russia is just such a dominant presence in their lives that it's going to require quite a shift. While they might both be in the same category, they're going to have to rethink this a little bit, I think, now with the decline of Viktor Orban.
I'm going to be glued to Hungarian reporting over the next few weeks. I can't wait to see what they will uncover about Orban's relationship with Russia, how deep it went, what the financial links were, and where those financial links may spread across the world. I think we're in for a huge roller coaster ride here, Laura.
Well, absolutely. It's going to be our first real look into that whole sort of shadowy world of the Putin influence on European politics, particularly just over the last decade. You know, where Russian influence has been seen and detected in so many European election campaigns, in destabilizing campaigns. And here's a first opportunity on the real front line to see what's happening there. And it was also really interesting to hear him talking about the relationships with other European countries. You know, the fact that he's that Hungary is very focused, you know, obviously geographically, but it's very focused on Germany and Poland. And I think that also reflects the fact that there's this real changing balance going on in Europe at the moment, isn't there? Where, you know, with the Western Europe having this sort of internal struggle, dark night of the soul with the far right, Central Europe, which has had to deal with this for a lot longer in a really more existential way, is sort of absorbing that and just getting on with, okay, how do we actually balance all of these factors out?
Yeah, there's two elections that I have watched with great hope, and the last one that really caught me was Moldova last year. They fought off a huge Russian disinformation campaign to vote back in their president, who is pro-EU, of course, and Moldova wants to join the EU. And now we see it again in Hungary. And the German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, I thought, put it beautifully when he said, perhaps our democracies are a little more resilient than we've thought.
That's right. And I suppose just there is still this niggling question, though, isn't there, about Ukraine? One thing which we didn't really get to because there hasn't been a lot of focus on it post-election, but of course Peter Magyar's still got a very hardline position on immigration, which puts him up against a lot of the EU. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the Europeans got their fingers burnt with Poland after the election there, where they freed up funds on the promise of a lot of reform, and it ended up not happening. Now, with this supermajority, that probably won't happen in Hungary, but it'll be just interesting to watch how Ursula von der Leyen and Peter Magyar start to navigate the sort of technical nitty-gritty, if you like, of the relationship.
Well, a little global roaming scoop. I'm told that the EU Commission President will be travelling there this weekend, which in of itself is a big symbol. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on that one here at Global Roaming.
Thanks for joining us at Global Roaming. Don't forget to write to us. We love your questions and feedback, so please keep it coming. Our email is global.roaming@abc.net.au. Thanks to our producer, Jessie Kay, and executive producer, Kylie Gray. Geraldine Doogue and Latika will be back tomorrow to look at a changing Britain and how it is repositioning itself on the US alliance as it becomes increasingly erratic and unreliable. Thanks, Latika, and goodbye.
See you, Laura.
I'm Carrington Clark.
And I'm Alan Kohler.
In 2026, business big and small is moving at a rapid pace, and ABC Business Daily is here to help you cut through the noise and spin, Monday to Thursday.
And on Friday, I sit down with business leaders, founders, creators, changemakers, and those in the know to ask them how they see the world, because that's business.
All in the ABC Business Daily feed on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.